I was caught by surprise just now when the Glory Be to the Father was sung. I was about to speak it, and Elder David and Adeline sung it. Indeed, the glory is meant to be sung. It's meant to be sung, not to be read out. And it did bring a tear to my eye. And I hope to see more of us here. And I hope to really be one day, all of us will be able to sing the Glory Be to the Father together. Let me read for us our sermon text today from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. That's the word of the Lord for us today. Friends, is there a difference between being alone and being lonely? Let me ask that again. Is there a difference between being alone and being lonely? When I was a student taking social work as one of my subject majors, something my lecturer said to me stuck in my head to this day. He told me, our class, the rates of there are people who feel alone, feel lonely, and get depressed are the highest during the festive seasons, like Christmas or the New Year. And I thought to myself, how can that be? You know, during the New Year, during Christmas, you have fun. You exchange presents, and there are lights in Orchard Road. How could anyone feel depressed? But then I thought about it for a little while more, and it struck me that there are people who are really alone during Christmas. And all around them, people, families are celebrating Christmas together. They are having meals together, but they are alone and lonely. And even if they are surrounded by many people, sometimes in their hearts, they feel lonely. There's no one to invite them for a Christmas meal. Or they feel that they are isolated from others. I don't know about you. If anybody here feels lonely during this Christmas time, or you know someone who feels lonely. But in our Bible passage today, Joseph knows what it means to be alone. But he was not lonely. He wasn't. We read that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Now, in the Jewish culture, this was a betrothal was a legally binding contract. It's before you are married, like 1 year before you are married, you're betrothed to someone, and it can only be dissolved through divorce. And yet before they came together to be married and to have sexual relations, Mary was found to be pregnant. Now, although we read that Mary was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit, this was what the Bible writer of Matthew added in. And it's correct. But in those days, there were only two people who knew for sure that Mary's child was from the Holy Spirit, and it was Mary herself and her cousin Elizabeth. And this was revealed to them from God. Now, if I were Joseph 2,000 years ago, this is what I would think. Imagine we are back in Nazareth 2,000 years ago. How could Mary do this to me? We were pledged to be married. We were pledged to be faithful to one another. And I love her with my whole heart, and I know she loves me. We grew up playing together in the streets. We fell in love. Our parents arranged this marriage for us. And yet now, she is found to be pregnant. And I know for sure this child is not mine. Who is the father? And yet she tells me this child in her womb is from God. How is this possible? This has never happened in human history. This has never happened to our ancestors, to our fathers of faith. Who would believe her? Would you? And yet, Mary has never once lied to me. But what will people think of me? I only have two choices. Either to divorce her publicly, put her and her family to a trial, denounce her as a sexually immoral woman. But what would happen to her and her family? Now, in my days, we don't stone these women anymore to death, even though the law commands it. But what would happen to her and her family? The second thing I could do is to divorce Mary quietly. And that is permitted under the law. But if I do so, I risk my own reputation. Everywhere I go, and Nazareth is a small village, people will point at me and whisper behind my back, "Why didn't he divorce Mary publicly? Did he have something to do with the pregnancy?" What shall I do? I am all alone right now. I cannot tell this to my family. I cannot talk to Mary. I am alone. God, please help me. Coming back to our sermon, God did. Through the angel of the Lord appearing to Joseph in a dream, Joseph was told that the baby was conceived from the Holy Spirit, and that he was not to fear taking Mary as his wife, for the baby that he would raise with her would be the promised Savior of God's people. And so Joseph married Mary. Despite the fact that she was pregnant for several months already, and it was visible, it was no longer a baby bump, it was a bump. And he chose the third option, an unthinkable option that exposed him to public shame forever. Why marry your pregnant betrothed if you had nothing to do with the baby? And the baby is not yours. Sorry, unless the baby is yours. That time, Joseph had to stand alone. And you can imagine what his own family thought of him. Worse, what polite society thought of him. Nazareth was a really small village. It was a really small village. If they had social media that day, you know, everywhere it would be hashtag scandal, Joseph and Mary. But Joseph was not alone. He was not lonely, I mean. He had the promise given through the prophet Isaiah about 700 years beforehand. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 23. Joseph knew his obedience to God would result in social condemnation and isolation, that he would be alone. But through marrying Mary and protecting the mother and the child, Jesus would save his people from their sins, and God would truly be with them and with Joseph as well. My friends, this is the heart of the sermon today. We may be alone. We may be alone, but we are not lonely because God is with us. We may be alone, but we are not lonely because God is with us. I have 2 points for this sermon. Firstly, God is with us because Jesus is divine. And secondly, God is with us because Jesus is Savior. Jesus is divine. Jesus is Savior. Let's go to the first point. God is with us because Jesus is divine. Twice we are told that the baby in Mary's womb was conceived from the Holy Spirit. And Jesus' conception really was a miracle. Joseph played no part in Jesus' conception, unlike how babies are normally conceived. The Bible passage is also quick to stress that at no point in time during this pregnancy, did Joseph have sexual relations with Mary. Mary was still a virgin. In another Bible passage in Luke's Gospel, Mary asked the angel Gabriel, how could she become pregnant when she was still a virgin? And the angel answered her in Luke 1:35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Now, friends, we hear this term Son of God so many times that it's a term of endearment to us, that Jesus is the Son of God. But in those days, to be called the Son of God, or if you call yourself the Son of God, you are saying 2 things. I am equal to God in prestige and power. I am equal to God in prestige and power. And so in Matthew's account that we read, Jesus is to be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Literally, God near us. God for us. God close to us. Church, God is with us today because Jesus is divine. He is literally God Himself, God with us. What does this mean for us today? For those who are struggling with loneliness or the fear of being left without support, God's promise that He will never leave us nor forsake us is guaranteed through the sending of His Son, Jesus. God does not just sympathize with our need for support and companionship. He sent His one and only Son. I had the privilege of conducting my grandmother's vigil service this Wednesday. It's a couple of days ago. And I shared with my relatives, and most of whom were non-Christians, that Jesus always saw to it that my grandma had a home, that she was never lonely, that she had family who loved her and cared for her. They were poor. And my own mom used to recount that their first home was in Kampong Amber. I don't know if any of you here have ever lived in a kampong before, you know, with zinc roofs and wooden walls. But in the middle of their house was a tree, not a plant. Okay, not a money plant, but a tree. Now, don't ask me how that works, okay? There was a tree in the middle of their house. And through the years, my grandma would move to live with different children, with my father and my mom at one point in time, with different children. But Jesus always made sure that my grandma had a home, that she was never lonely, that there were people who loved her and cared for her. But not just that. Late in her life, my grandma came to know Jesus, and she took his hand and believed in him. And Jesus' promise to her is that even should she leave this earth, she will always have a home with him. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My friends, when we sing the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. You know that song? What a Friend. I can't sing it. Okay, I didn't go for the ART. But it goes like this. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry. Everything to God in prayer. It's not everything to man in prayer. It's everything to God in prayer. When we pray to Jesus, even if we are alone, even if we feel that we stand alone and there's nobody who understands, when we open our mouths and our hearts to pray to Jesus, He is God. He hears and He will answer your prayer. We may be alone, but we are not lonely because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. My friends, when we make disciples of all nations, when we serve God, sometimes it is a task where we feel that we are alone. Sometimes we are misunderstood. Sometimes people don't understand the decisions that we make because they don't have the information that we have. You may be alone, but you are never lonely because God is with us. Because Jesus promised to those who make disciples of all nations is this. His promise to us is this, that I will surely be with you always, always, to the end of the age. So we are not lonely. God is with us because Jesus is divine. Because of His love, God sent His Son into this world to be with us, to be among us, so that we could be with Him forever. And we will never be lonely. And this is our first point. And the second point is this. God is with us because Jesus is Savior. Jesus is Savior. Joseph was told by the angel of the Lord to call the child Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And Joseph actually did so. Jesus means Yahweh, or the Lord saves. Yeshua, the Lord saves. And it was actually a common Jewish name. Now, why is this important? You see, most of the people in Joseph's day, they were looking for a different kind of savior. They were looking for a king who would save them from the Roman occupiers. Our Bible passage, however, stresses that the Christ, the Savior, the descendant of David, will be a different kind of Savior. In His first coming to earth, the Christ rode on a donkey, not a war horse. The Christ was born in a manger, not in a palace. He was raised by common people, by a carpenter, not the rich. Even Jesus' closest followers got this wrong. Later in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, we come across this passage. But Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, and it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus did not come into this world to be served as a king, but to give his life as the savior of the world. Without Jesus dying on the cross for us, God would be against us. God would be our enemy. God would be our judge rather than God with us. Sin by nature separates us from God and from one another. Sin deceives us into thinking that we are alone and lonely, that nobody cares, nobody understands. Brother Petrus mentioned this in his sermon last week, that sin leads to shame and separation. But if we believe in Christ, there is no sin greater than the grace of God through Jesus. And so my appeal to all of us is stop running away from God. Stop running away from his love. To those who are not yet Christians, God says to you, stop running away from my love. If you repent, if you turn away from your sins and receive my Son Jesus, I will be reconciled to you. I will be for you. I will be with you. And to Christians who are here or who are listening in, if we have a secret, unconfessed sin or we are struggling with a sin that comes up again and again, run to God through Jesus. He is fully God and man. He understands what it means to be tempted, and yet he was without sin. He is able to help us when we fall, to rise up again. He is able to wash our hearts clean from sin, our conscience clean. And he will surround us with his people who will not judge us, but are committed to walk with us in our journey of faith. You are not lonely or alone in your struggle with sin. Talk to a pastor or an elder if you need help. To those who are running away from others because they have been hurt by them, run to Jesus. He can help restore that relationship with the person who has hurt you. I'd like to end by sharing the testimony that my Aunt Barbara gave at the funeral, and she has kindly given me permission to share her story. Auntie Barbara was the first pastor in my family. She's single. Many years ago, before she became a Christian and then a pastor, she hated her mother, and that's my grandma, who just went home to the Lord. She was hurt very badly by my grandma, by her mom in the past, and she refused to visit her mom. When she became a Christian, her life changed, and God's love and peace and forgiveness restored her and entered her life. But she still hated her mom and refused to visit her. One day, God spoke to her very clearly, "Barbara, you say that you love me. How can you love me when you hate your own mother? How can you love me when you hate your own mother?" And she cried. And she said to God, "Forgive me. I can't love her, but you can make me love her. Help me." And God answered her prayer. She started to visit her mom, slowly but surely. And at a family conference to decide who would look after my grandma and grandpa, she surprised everyone by saying, "Daddy and Mommy will stay with me from now on." Auntie Barbara was busy with ministry commitments and traveling as a missionary on the weekends. But she took great care of grandma, and everyone in our extended family respected her for this. They all knew it was God who changed her to forgive her mother and to take care of her to the end. My grandma eventually became a Christian as she saw God at work in saving my grandpa and saw God at work in my aunt, Barbara, and her church that reached out to her. At the wake, as Auntie Barbara testified to God's power to change her, to forgive her mother, and to love her mom, I felt the presence of God. And all of us there did. God indeed was with her because Jesus is Savior. My ama and Aunt Barbara were single, were alone, but they were never lonely because God is with them. My friends, we are sometimes left alone, isn't it? Sometimes not by choice, but we can choose never to be lonely because Emmanuel, God, is with us. Let me bring this sermon to a close. Are you feeling lonely right now during this Christmas season? What does God want you to do in response to His word today? Or if you know someone who is lonely, what does God want you to do for that person in response to His word today? Perhaps you are running away from somebody, somebody close to you. What does God want you to do in response to His word today? I will give us some time to pray, and I will close in prayer. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank You that even though we may be alone, we are never lonely because of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. We give You thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.